We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Meditation Studio, the 5-star app, and Muse, the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate. I'm Patricia Karpus. The Muse headband and app can help you start a meditation practice or deepen your practice. And the Muse S was specifically designed to give you lots of meditations, visualizations, and features to help you sleep better. All great stuff. Check it out at choosemuse.com. Today, we have an episode with my co-host, Ariel Garten.
Welcome to another Untangle. In the next two episodes, we're going to a place that we don't usually go. We're going to explore the mysterious worlds of manifesting, spontaneous remission from disease, and energy work. As many of you know, I'm trained as a scientist and really take a scientific approach to understanding how the world and the mind and things like meditation work. I'm also very open to and interested in the possibilities of what might be happening. In today's episode, we're going to be exploring manifesting. We'll be speaking with our guest, Danette May, who has an amazing rags-to-riches story in which she was able to go from a life of being abused to being in control, on top of it, and manifesting her own life. We're going to learn her methodology for manifesting her life. In the next episode, next Tuesday, we're going to speak to Dr. Shamini Jain. Dr. Jain is at the University of San Diego, where she's been studying phenomena like manifesting and spontaneous remission. We're going to talk about how she and her colleagues theorize our energy fields may indeed be allowing us to tap into something greater, which can create these seemingly miraculous or illogical changes. I'm really excited about this little series because it's a topic that's been fascinating to me, but that I poke at quite gently, unsure of exactly what might be going on. So come with me into the world of manifesting and biofield energy. Learn how to do it, how and if it might be working, and if potentially it can work for you. And with that, let me introduce today's guest, Danette May. Danette is the co-founder of Mindful Health, a best-selling author and sought-after mindset coach who teaches people to manifest what they want in their lives. She'll tell us her story and teach us a step-by-step process for manifesting that she's seen been successful many times over. Next week, we'll learn what might be going on in methods like these to allow them to work. Welcome, Danette. I'm very excited.
Well, I am glad to be here. Hello, everyone.
Hello, it is so awesome to be here with you today. I know as we were chatting, you alluded to some interesting experiences that you have had with Indigenous tribes gathering wisdom. I would love to hear about those and what it is that you've gathered.
Yeah, it's something that I hadn't really talked about a lot, but something that's been heavily in my awareness before I even traveled to any tribes or traveled anywhere. I always had this desire to really learn from these tribes that hadn't been touched by technology or who hadn't been touched by this kind of modern world, and what wisdom is there, and what foods, what kind of medical practices, what kind of metaphysical practices were in place to really harness these tribes. And granted, some are still flourishing and some are no longer, but I've now have had the honor to travel to a lot of these places on top of being invited to places where no blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl goes and sit in sacred circle and hear the wisdom. And it's interesting because as I've done that and then I've brought it back to this, what we would call our modern world. It's fascinating to me how certain scientists are linking up with now the scientific backing of what they've been saying for a very, very long time. So it's really beautiful.
Can you share some of these experiences more specifically and maybe an anecdote of something you learned?
Yeah, I mean, they're from all different gamuts. So I'll share a more recent experience. I remember getting invited in to this particular tribe, and this one was in Costa Rica. And now I'd been invited to Peruvian tribes and even in Africa, which was fascinating to me at the time that in Costa Rica, I was sitting in this circle of what they would call shamans, and some were women, some were men, and they didn't, none of them spoke English. And I was, once again, the only blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, and they were passing around this elixir. And in this elixir, I could smell that it smelled quite good. It wasn't plant medicine. It wasn't anything that was like a hallucinogenic. They were like, this is something that's been passed down from the Aztecas, the Peruvians, the Mayans. And they were like, it's raw ceremonial grade cacao. And they had infused it with some of the local honey from the bees and some turmeric and a little bit of MCT. They put little coconut in there, which we call, scientists call MCT, but they call it coconut, right? Coconut oil. And then lucuma and mesquite. And this was a while ago, so I'll tell the recent one where I was in the Mayan jungle. But so we sat in this circle and they were like, I want you to set an intention of what something you want to have happen in 7 to 10 days. And I was like, this is interesting. And in that circle, I set that intention. We drank this amazing, delicious elixir because raw cacao mixed with honey and all these other superfoods is just absolutely divine. And it was obviously blessed. There was ceremonial song. There was dancing. But I did feel a sense of euphoria. I felt this connection to my heart and this connection to this intention. I had then left the jungle and found within 12 days, it wasn't 7 days, it wasn't 10 days, but it was 12 days, the exact thing that I was intending was manifesting right in front of me. And I was like, what is this? And of course, I started researching cacao, the history of cacao, the power of cacao, and just the medicinal properties that it contains for opening the heart, and then understanding on a different scientific level, the power of the heart frequency, the love frequency, to be a conduit to manifesting. This is just one example of many that I've experienced and then have dug deeper to try to understand what is chemically in these products, as well as what's going on a very cellular level when you ingest a physical product mixed with intention. And it's been such an amazing journey that I've been on with infusing those two things together.
That's really interesting. So, Danette, as I mentioned to the audience in the intro, I'm trained as a scientist, and I approach things pretty by the book scientifically and skeptically, but I'm also curious and open spiritually. Next week, we're going to actually have on a scientist who's going to explain her theory of the science of experiences like manifestation. Today, I'd love to personally hear from you, Danette, about your felt and tangible experience of it. What you've unearthed psychologically and emotionally, and what, from your perspective as a practitioner, allows what you experience as manifestation to happen.
For me, I'm going to be the first to claim that I am not a scientist.
That's A-okay.
It's fascinating because there are people that really need the science and the science to be explained to grab a hold of something. For me, I say I'm very intuitive and I will grab a hold of something if it feels in resonance within my system, and I'll put it into practice, and then I will discover for myself, and then I'll put clients through. So what I end up doing is I'll do something and then I will do my own experiment. So I guess I could say I'm my own little scientist, and I'll share certain formulas with different people that are willing to do beta tests. And then they will come back with the information back to me of how it's translated for them. And then that's when I will be like, okay, I feel like I have something to really share with people. And that's really how I've gone about a lot of things. But for me, with manifesting, what's been fascinating, I've been studying near-death experiences and understanding this power of love frequency. Like when we talk about love, and this is also why it ties back to cacao, because raw cacao is one of two foods. There's only two foods in the world that contain this chemical called anandamide. Now, you're most likely familiar with anandamide, but when anandamide's released in the body, it's typically during a state of euphoria, a state of like lovemaking. It's like a heart opener. Like in the metaphysical space, they'll call it a heart opener, but it literally is a chemical release to feel the sense of love and euphoria. And we're finding with studying near-death experiences also with cacao being a love frequency and near-death experiences, they start to see that everything has been forgiven, that any things that they were feeling troublesome about in this, what we would call our 3D experience here on earth, they're like, man, I feel complete forgiveness. I hope they forgive me. I forgive them. I return complete to love. And in that love, when they've come back, if they had like cancer per se, they literally are healed. They completely heal their whole system because of this frequency of love. To me, that's the ultimate manifesting power. And so I've been really fascinated on that power. I've watched it in my own life. If I can keep turning the dial frequency to love within my system and combine that with an intention, I'm seeing things come into my fruition very, very fast.
That's really interesting. I'm curious, can you show us how you manifest something? How you teach your clients to manifest? Could you maybe actually teach us what your process is to do it?
Yeah. So let's use an example. Well, I'll actually let you decide because it's the same whether you're trying to attract more financial abundance, which tends to be what a lot of people want. But what I'm finding is a lot of people are now wanting just more partnership, like a true, like what we would call a soulmate or someone really special in our life, like this partnership. Whether you want to manifest that, you want to manifest abundance financially, maybe it's a health thing in your body, you want more health, it's all the same. So I'm going to give like a three-part process. It's always, just so everyone knows, it always is around intention and then the frequency that you're holding. And when I say frequency, a lot of people are like, what does that mean? And a frequency is, we all can agree that if someone cuts us off or if our computer shuts down and we're in the middle of working hard on something, or if someone says something that's really hurtful, we get in a frequency of anger or betrayal or hurt, whatever that energy is. And it feels heavy in the system. That is a certain frequency. It's a heavier frequency. It tends to create certain knots depending on where you carry it in your stomach, your chest, your neck. But there's these frequencies, which I'm saying as love being, we all know that feeling if you love to travel and you land into this new place and you're like smelling all the new smells and you're seeing all the new things, you just feel so present and so light. That frequency is pretty dialed up to love. Let's say you're making love with your favorite person in the whole world and you just are so connected to this human. That frequency is love inside the system. It's just very much presence. It's euphoria. It feels so good. Or holding a new baby or being with your favorite animal, that's a frequency of love. And so I'm always searching, not always searching, because I don't think I have to search. It's just being aware of that frequency inside of my system and really turning it as much as I can to love, turning it to that feeling of making love, to petting my favorite animal, to traveling, whatever those sensations are for you. And that's been the catalyst. So the first step is your intention.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've ever thought about therapy and haven't quite jumped in yet, it may be the right time to explore BetterHelp. Whether you're looking for new coping skills or to improve a relationship, or maybe dealing with some social anxiety or just need to recharge your batteries so you can be the best version of yourself, therapy is great, and this could be just the right time to give BetterHelp a shot. Finding a therapist through BetterHelp is easy. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and they do their best to match you with a licensed therapist that's a great fit for you. Visit betterhelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now, back to our show.
Got to understand what you're trying to create or the choices you want to make or the thing that you desire. So understanding that first, and what is that intention? Maybe it's just to have more peace or to be in forgiveness. Maybe it's to have optimal health. Maybe it's to be connected to someone who really sees you and you can be in full expression with them. And so being very, very clear, what's that intention? And that's being very clear. Then the second thing is like clearing up trauma around that intention. So this is a little bit dicier. And I definitely have programs that kind of help people navigate this because it's not the most simplest part, but it's the most powerful part. Now, when I say clearing up any trauma, let's say, for example, you want to have a soulmate, you want to be connected to somebody, and you want to have this really connected, deep, powerful love. And let's say your parents didn't have that growing up, or maybe you were in a relationship in your early 20s and it went pretty poorly. It was abusive, or things were said that were really degrading to your spirit. You're going to need to heal that. Even though you say it's passed on, it's moved on, you're going to need to go back and rewire that neural pathway. And I would love to hear your point on this, because for me, I do a system of rewiring neural pathways inside my brain because I recognize we just have circuits of memories. And so, for example, let's say I had an abusive relationship in my early 20s. And even though I feel like I've healed that or I've forgiven that person, if I haven't really gone and recreated that neural pathway around that relationship, I may continue to attract someone who's quite abusive because I haven't fully loved and healed that moment. So what I do is I go back in my mind to that moment where maybe something was said, something was done to me. You will have to decide as an individual listening, what is that moment? And go back there. And then literally, like you're creating a new movie, you recreate the scene. So I would have them instead say really beautiful things to me, literally see their face, see us standing in the same place, and have them saying all these really loving things to me. And let's say they did something physically to me, I would see them doing something really kind to me. I know this sounds really crazy, but
it's not. So the psychotherapist neuroscientist here says, this is the way you do it. This is actually the proper process. And it's something I do all the time.
Ooh, good.
Yeah. When I, for example, I had a lot of food sensitivities. I'd eat food like sunflower seeds and have this irritation and itching in my mouth. It wasn't actually true allergy that would show up on a scratch test, but it was this repeated reaction that my body would have to a substance that practically should have been benign. So I'd actually retrain my reaction to sunflower seeds by rewriting my memories and the association of it. So I'd do a psychotherapeutic method where I'd go back to times when I'd have a reaction in my mind and reimagine myself not reacting, instead having feelings of safety and enjoying the nutrition of sunflower seeds and the taste. I used a whole lot of other methods together to overcome the sensitivity, but without that rewriting, every time I'd go to eat a sunflower seed, my body and mind would remember the itchy sensation and then re-trigger the reaction, even though I logically knew that the sunflower seed was benign. It was just this loop in my brain and body that would play out over and over again, a loop that needed to be simply retrained and rewritten. And so this process of rewriting memories when you're attempting to overcome a no longer useful habit or behavior or recover from a trauma, this methodology is actually a really effective tool in the toolbox to repattern a behavior or a belief and to retrain your brain into a different pathway and outcome.
Yes, so good. I'm so glad to hear that because it's been profound in my life and profound in my clients' life. And I think the thing that I'm good at is just holding myself to the work, because sometimes it might seem like, oh, I think I cleared it, but sometimes you have to just keep rewiring it and rewiring it. And for me, that's sometimes 2 to 3 a day of like just 5 minute rewirings, like go back to the memory, recreate it. And then it gets less and less until that trigger is gone.
Yep. It can take so long. So rewriting memories and relearning neural pathways, recreating neural pathways takes time. And so it is just repetition. It's just that over and over again. And again, I'll do the same thing. I'll have a period in the morning and the evening where I go over something that I'm trying to train myself out of and overwrite the memories.
Yeah, that's so powerful because we get to be the healers. We get to be the creators. And that's really potent information because some of us think that it's not necessarily easy because you've got to do it, but it's not necessarily that complicated either because you're not taking a medicine. You're literally just going back and rewiring that memory. So that's the second phase in my mind. That's just what I call healing the trauma or the trigger response. I like how you said the looping memory. And then the third thing is being in the frequency, choosing that frequency of love. And this to me feels harder than the second step because life is life. And you might wake up and you have this intention and you're feeling pretty good, but then something outside of you happens and that could throw you into this feeling of a heaviness or a pit in your stomach or whatever. And it's your job then to reshift it, refocus on something that can bring you into love, to get your body into a state of love and putting yourself into that vibration. Now, if you do those three things, I'm here to tell you that in 7 days, a lot of big, hairy, audacious goals will start to come into fruition. These big, hairy, audacious goals that you would think maybe take 2 years, 1 year, whatever you're putting in your brain as how long it should take, you will start to see either the thread of it starting like faster than you've ever seen before, or it actually happening. It's quite miraculous.
That's amazing. So I have to say, I have not experimented with manifestation. My way to get things is usually to work hard and work smart, but that's not to say there isn't something there. And on the sensation of love, so I actually, just to share my technique, I spend a lot of time imagining feelings of love in my body. So if I am not feeling particularly well, or if something's gone poorly, after I process that, I will actually bring a sensation of love into my heart and spread it throughout my body. I will imagine something that I love and reflect that love for it back on myself and allow it to fill me and just pull the sensation of love through my body and through my cells. And it may or may not be doing something on a metaphysical level, but on a physiological level, it is slowing down your heart rate, dilating your blood vessels, increasing good chemicals like oxytocin, and allowing you to relax, feel happier, and just be a nicer person to be with for those around you as well as for yourself. So it's a practice that I actually do quite commonly and quite deliberately to return to an experience or feeling of love.
Yeah. And I love how you're mentioning this is definitely like she can track what's happening physically in her body. And some people are really good at being still and seeing with their minds. But if you're not necessarily that individual, it's okay. If you're more like a body oriented, you can start to do like a workout or dance to high beat music that's really motivating for you, or really, I don't know, you think of 80s music. You can start to move your system, go for a good hike out in nature if that's your medicine. Some people will really start to shift that state really quick if they go into those modes first before just the mind mode. And then they can go into that mind mode. So I just want to say that everybody's body's a little bit different. And so just really understanding, is movement my thing, or just sitting here and taking a big couple deep breaths? Sometimes movement makes you take deep breaths because you just have a hard time sitting and doing it. Just know that everyone's different and you can find that.
And if you've got a pet, that is the easiest way to circuit to it. Saddle yourself next to your pet, give it a good belly rub, and just be with the sensation of the sweetness of your pet. Be with the sensation of the feeling in your fingers and the warmth that your pet is giving you and feeling from you. So that's the easiest. And allow yourself to drop into that sensation of being there with your animal.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
So we had 3 steps.
Yep. So the first one was understanding your desire, your intention. The second one is clearing, rewiring that trigger or the trauma around that. It may be from that intention. So we talked about, we used an example of relationship. And the third step is moving yourself into those frequencies often of love.
And then do you revisit your intention regularly, daily? Like how do you?
Daily.
Okay.
The intention is always daily, but when you're desiring something that, and I don't like to use the word want, because want means you don't have it and it's outside of you. But it's interesting. There's different people that have different thoughts around the word desire. But for me, if I desire something in my experience of life, I don't forget about it. So every day is an intention setting. It's like, what's my intention for today? What's my intention, my overarching audacious intention? And I think about that every morning. And the other practical thing that I do, it's funny because I had been practicing this and learned it from, I think it was when I was in Peru. And then I've heard other people talking about it and they call it like the 5-second rule. I think there was a 5-second rule. There was like, I don't know. There was some other people that were talking about it, but I was told for 17 seconds when you wake up in the morning, because the veil is super thin, the veil meaning this life of the 3D and the other dimensions you live in, whether you believe this or not, this is what I was taught. And there's this sweet spot of right when you're waking up, when the veil is really thin, it can be from dream state to that kind of awake state. And that's the sweet spot every morning when you can set that intention, when you can feel this sense of love that you had just talked about, which is really beautiful, just like letting it pour out and over you and be in this immense gratitude mixed with your intention. And that can also catapult you it's almost like a vortex throughout the day. And I'm telling you, it sounds so out there, but if anybody wants to give this a go for like 7 days, you will see it for yourself.
Okay. Do you have some examples of people this has worked for or examples of this working?
Oh, I have so many examples. Obviously, I do everything on myself. I'm always the student. So for example, I'll just share a little bit about my story. For me, literally, it's been now about 10-ish years. Now that seems longer, but in the span of everything, if I would have told myself, because 10 years ago, I was this girl who was in a horrible divorce. I had lost my son and I had literally $47 to my name. I was a single mom. We found $47 through the couches and the drawers and the cushions through the house as a game. But I had a dream. I had an intention of what I wanted for my life, but I also was swirling with lots of negativity. And I always tell people the worst part of that circumstance wasn't the loss of my son, wasn't that I was a single mom, wasn't that I was sleeping on the floor and that I had $47. The worst part of all that was the lack of hope, was this swirling negativity, this clenching of my throat, this weight and this pressure and this heaviness that I was constantly like telling myself I wasn't a good mom. I was a financial ruin. I was never going to amount to anything. And that to me was the most devastating part, because until I could shift that, nothing was going to shift in my external world. And it was absolutely true, because I wasn't super connected to anyone. I felt all this shame and I didn't have money. So it wasn't like anyone was giving me any money. And so I really started to dive into learning about these concepts about rewiring my own mind and around the power of the brain, and became my own like little mini scientist. And I watched myself create my first eight-figure business in 4 years from $47. And then the second eight-figure business in 6 years. I watched myself have complete primary custody of these children and complete forgiveness of my ex-spouse. Like these things that where people would be like, that's impossible. You cannot have that. That's impossible that you will be friends with your ex based off. And I'm not going to go into that story, but as protection to him, because it's been in complete forgiveness now. Using my mind, using these meditations that I've gotten from different shamans and different indigenous tribes to literally shift the external outcome of the world. And I say this humbly, I don't say it any braggadocious, because I feel so committed to sharing this with the world, because I'm like, we have so much power within our fingertips if we're willing to take on these ideas that we are the dreamer of the dream.
It's an amazing story. A really amazing story. And I'm so glad that you were able to turn things around and that you found the strength within yourself to make that possible. It's extraordinary.
Thank you. Yeah. And I now help lots of clients from accumulating different financial situations to, and my latest one lately has just been so fun for me, because it seems like a lot of these execs or things, higher level coaching clients were like, hey, I have all the things that everyone thinks they want, but I don't have true partnership. And that one feels like it involves another being. And how am I going to manifest that? Like I can manifest money. I can manifest a job. I can manifest this house, this, all these little items in life, but it's, they're like a human. Like, how is this possible? And that's been really, really honoring and fun for me to watch these clients go, oh my gosh, like, how am I meeting this person? And how is this happening? And I'm connecting now, or that now some of them are in relationships and others are just dating, but they're feeling so edified in relationships. So it works in all realms and it's really magical to watch.
Amazing. I'd love to go back to your own story for a minute and learn a little bit more about the mindset shifts that allowed you to get out of that very difficult place into a place of flourishing and abundance.
It wasn't something that happened overnight, and I think a lot of people wish it was. And I have to say that it, for me, I was constantly learning about the mind, and I was taking what I was doing was my own little experiment. I would look at people that I thought were really successful in life, some people still living, some people deceased. And I would line them all up on the ICA page and I started learning about their life. But then I started learning about the behind the scenes curtain part of their life that not a lot of people are talking about. And I found some common denominators between all these people. And one common denominator was they all had crazy pasts. And I was like, cha-ching, I have a crazy story and past. And so that gave me hope, right? I was like, whoa, I'm not alone. Like every single one of these amazing, great people that I'm reading about, learning about, have all had hardships And I think that's one thing we need to recognize is that every human has hardships, whether you think they don't or not. And if they haven't had one yet, they're going to have one. It's just, I think it's the gift that we get to have as humans is this refiner's fire. The second thing that I found was that they all worked on their mindset, shifting the stories, just like we were talking about in phase two, where they were rewiring these stories. So you can do the same thing about money, right? So let's say you grow up with not a destitute, not on the streets, but maybe you just didn't have a lot of resources and you weren't able to go out to eat a lot, or you guys didn't live in a nice home or drive a nice car and always never had the nice things in life. And so you have this story that I'm okay with good enough. I'm never going to have really nice things. Let's just say that doesn't feel good to you and you want to have really nice things. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't matter whether you're on the streets and you just want to have a car, or if you had a home, but you want to live in something more luxurious. It doesn't matter. Going back and rewiring that story, like replaying it, shifting those neural pathways to being of abundance and feeling that abundance of living in that home, driving that car, experiencing what that is, what you think is wealth. And as I was doing that, so I started doing that for each part of my life. And for me, those things were like, I wanted to feel like a good mom. That was really deep and painful for me, more than the house I was living in and that I was eating beans and weenies. I just wanted to feel like a good mom. And so I was rewiring these stories around the working mom and the mom that stayed at home, because I grew up with the story that you can't be a good mom and have a job outside the home. Now, here I am, with no money, a single mom, I've got to work outside the home. I had no other option. So I started to really work with that story and reshifting it, that you can be a fabulous mother and have a successful career, not just put some food on the table, but have a really magnetic, passionate career. And so that's where I started. And I started with other things too. So I would list all the limiting beliefs after that and then rewrite the empowering belief beyond that. And trust me, it was almost like 2 pages long at the beginning. And then I made a commitment to myself that anytime I was in that spiral of negativity, where my brain was just on a loop of saying, you're not enough, you're not going to amount to anything, I would then commit, literally commit, because you don't feel like doing it in that moment, but commit to reading the positives, the opposites of the negatives on that page. And I read it sometimes 10 times a day at the very beginning of this time in my life. And that for me was where I started making that shift. I really believe it was those simple steps that were starting to shift me out. And then it started opening up connections and it started giving me a little bit easier feeling of feeling good. And just all of it started to unravel. I love your word untangle, untangle into almost like this feeling of I can breathe. I almost like I have momentum. I feel like I can start to see that maybe my dreams and my heart are possible.
Oh, amazing. That's so beautiful. And I'm sure so difficult and required insane amounts of tenacity and commitment to your process.
Yes. Commitment to the process is the key. Commitment to the process.
Because in those moments when you're not feeling good, that's the last thing you want to do. And it's so easy to give up and be like, oh, I'll do it another day, especially if you're feeling low or depressed or bad about yourself. Mm-hmm. And those are the moments when you need the intervention most.
Yep.
How did you find the strength inside yourself to push yourself to do this?
I've asked myself this a lot because I've been studying humans for a while. I'm like, why do some take these harder things? Like, it isn't easy. Like what you just said, like you're in a racket, you're in a low moment, you're in what would be a mild grade depression. Some people feel extreme depression. When I lost my son, I did taste extreme depression. I tried to commit suicide at that time. So I've tasted all the gamuts of, there is a, I don't know what you want to call it, a scale of depression. So I want to be very sensitive because I feel that when we're talking different things, depending on what scale you're on. But for me, I danced in quite a few of the scales. And I've asked myself that question, like, what made me do it? I just remember when I was in a moment, let's say you're in a moment listening to this podcast right now, and you're feeling a sense of hope. And in that moment of hope, I was like, this is my non-negotiable. When I get into that low phase, when I get into that moment, when I don't want to read it, when I don't want to show up and read these positive things, I'm going to do it. And so it was making that commitment when I was already feeling a sense of hope. I was already a little high, is where, and I am that person. If I say I'm going to do something, I read that book. I think it's called The Four Agreements. And one of the agreements he talks about is being impeccable with your word. And he was talking about being impeccable with your word, like being honest to others. And to me, I was like, I need to be impeccable to my word, to myself. That to me is the highest, bravest, integrous thing I can do for myself, is be impeccable with my word. So if I'm going to do this, and I say I'm going to do this when I'm feeling pretty dang good right now, just like you listening to this podcast, you can set this same goal. When those low moments hit, you just crawl over and you do it. You're not doing it amazingly, but you're doing it. And over time, as you stay committed to it, I think it unravels something within you and makes it a little easier over time.
That's fantastic and hopefully inspiring to those of us who tend to fall off the commitment bandwagon. And they're like, okay, this is a good idea, but we'll do it later. And so just knowing that actually, if you do this consistently, actually, if you commit to the thing, the meditation practice, the whatever path you're on, it does get better. You hold yourself as it is an incredible example of the transformation that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Danette, you show us an incredible example of what's possible.
Thank you. Yeah, I want that for everyone.
So I know you recently wrote a book around abundance. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's called Embrace Abundance. And Hay House Publishing had approached me about this book. And we didn't know it was going to be Embrace Abundance. They were just like, I think a lot of people want to know, from how does someone who doesn't really have a lot of friends, who didn't have $47, who lost her son, how did you create what you've created? And it's not just the financial or the business or the purpose success, but these relationship successes, my health. I look younger than I did 10 years ago. What am I doing for my health abundance, for my relationship, my communications, my fun times, for my purpose, all of that within my realm? And then what have I been teaching people? And so I put it all in small nugget, bite-sized, inspiring stories and takeaways so that you can find abundance and really claim that abundance for yourself in your lifetime.
That's awesome. Is the book out yet?
Yes, it is. This is the launch week.
Okay, the book is launched. You must be so excited.
Yeah, this is a big week. Yes.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I'm going to include a link in the show notes where you can get the book. Danette also has an offer of her programs.
What I'm offering everybody who gets the book, because as we know, sometimes it takes a minute to get the book and then to read it all, is I'm putting on a live free coaching event for those who have purchased the book. So the link that you put in your show notes, which is basically embraceabundancebook.com, you're going to get invited to that live virtual event and be coached on really the power of your mind and really feel it firsthand in this live coaching session that we do around relationships and abundance and our minds.
Ooh, that sounds really interesting. Danette, thank you so much for sharing your story of abundance and for sharing the process and mindset that we might use to generate more of it for ourselves. And please come back next week for our next exploration on the topic. Thank you so much for being with us this week, Danette. It was a joy and a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Danette May. You can find out more at danettemay.com, danettemay.com. And you can find links to her book and all of her resources in the show notes.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
If you'd like help focusing your mind, training your mindset, or meditating, you should check out Muse. Muse is a clinical grade EEG validated in over 200 published third-party research studies. Muse can help and support your meditation practice with real-time feedback on your brain, your heart, your breath, and your body while you meditate. In a recent study by the Mayo Clinic, breast cancer patients awaiting surgery were able to improve their quality of life and reduce their stress and fatigue while using Muse during their cancer care process to meditate. Muse is also used by hundreds of thousands of meditators all around the world, from absolute beginners to experts and even meditation teachers, who use it to start or enhance their meditation practice with real data from the brain. It's totally amazing. You can check it out and find out more at choosemuse.com, and you can use the Untangle discount code MUSESTRESSLESS. Wishing everybody a wonderful week filled with the abundance that you create. And we'll see you back here for our next episode with Dr. Shamini James.